So I can't really say good morning, everybody. So good day to you all anyways. And I'm very happy to see everybody in this high summer come to worship with us at IPC. So let us just bow our heads now for a prayer to start the worship. Dear Father Lord, we come in front of you as a church community to worship you and honor you. May you be glorified. May our prayer and praise be set before you as incense pleasing to you. May you deepen our understanding of you and strengthen our bond with you through this worship service. Amen.
Today's first Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9, and can be found on pages 610 to 611 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. This is the word of the Lord. And today's second Old Testament reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 23 and 26 to 32. And can be found on page 846 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the Sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits a sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life. Because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, "The way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Today's New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1053 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say. Afternoon. It's a privilege to be here again today to share with you the message from the Word of God. Before we think about the passage we have heard, Scripture, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here together as you have invited us into your presence. We believe that you are attentive to all who call upon your name. We come before you just as we are, with everything that gives us joy and with everything that burdens us, with all our thoughts and longings, with our anxieties and our hopes. We entreat you to speak to us through your word, to let us hear your voice, to touch our hearts, to help us experience your presence. Strengthen us through your word. Equip us with all we need from you today. Comfort and encourage us through your Holy Spirit. Renew our faith so that we can go into the week ahead of us with new strength and new courage as witnesses to your love and compassion and your living presence in our broken world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a popular way of saying grace in German, which you all might have heard living in Switzerland. Komm, Herr Jesus, sei du unser Gast und segne, was du uns bescheren hast. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and bless what you have given us. Amen. In my grandmother's kitchen on the farm in South Africa, there was a framed proverb hanging on the wall which said, "Jesus, die onsigbare gas by elke maaltijd." Jesus is the invisible guest at every meal. Both of these refer to Jesus as a guest at our table. But we can ask, what does Jesus have to do with our eating and drinking? A lot, it seems, when we read the Gospels. In the Gospel of Luke, for example, we find more accounts of Jesus eating than of him teaching. If you don't believe me, go back and read the Gospel of Luke. And when Jesus teaches, it's mostly at the table. So the theologian Karis says, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, he's at a meal, or he's coming from a meal. No wonder that Jesus left us a way to remember him as a meal. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest in this German table prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. But what happens when Jesus actually comes to visit? When he really joins us at the table? In today's New Testament reading, we see how life-changing a meal with Jesus can be. The first thing we notice in this story is this is about a very unsuitable host. Barbara has already demonstrated that to us in a talk to the children. Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem to achieve the purpose for which God had sent him, to die on the cross. He has important business. He's on his way to this destination. But he ends up stopping over and enjoying a meal with the last person we would have expected, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The host in this story, Zacchaeus, he's defined in three different ways. In verse 2, we hear how Luke describes him. And Luke calls him a man named Zacchaeus. And he tells us he's a tax collector. Now, I think nobody of us likes to pay taxes. Nobody of us like tax collectors. But this was something on quite a different level again, because he collects money for the Roman conquerors and occupiers. And he's not only a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector of Jericho. He made it to the top. He has power and authority where it counts. And we also read that he's wealthy. He's a rich man. He has possessions in a country in those days of desperately poor people. He has status. He has financial security. He's in with those in power, friends with the Romans. He's well connected, a successful man all around. That's the one way he's described. But in verse 7, we read a second description. And there we hear that he is a sinful man. That's how the people see him. He, Jesus, has gone to be the guest of a sinner, they say. He's unpopular. He's a small guy, but as we heard from Barbara, he cannot get to the front to see better, because this is the one time people can actually get something back at this guy who always oppresses them. They just stand in the way, so he cannot get to the front to see Jesus. And then later, they complain. They complain when Jesus visits his house. So, now we can ask ourselves, did this bother Zacchaeus very much that he was unpopular? I don't think so. He's rich, he's influential, he probably has his own circle of friends, other tax collectors, other very wealthy people. So, what would he care about the common people, whether they like him or not? But then there's a third way that Zacchaeus is defined in this story. In verse 9, we read, this man too is a son of Abraham. He's a son of Abraham. And that is his real identity. That's how Jesus sees him. That's what Jesus says about him. This man is a son of Abraham. He belongs to God's people. He has a share in God's promises to Abraham. As a son of Abraham, he's privileged. He knows God. As a son of Abraham, he has an identity. He is a member of a community, the community of God, God's people. But this is what Zacchaeus left behind. This is what he had lost. Zacchaeus chose his own lifestyle. He's successful, but his own people became his enemies. He has status, he has financial security, but he has lost his identity, his relationship with God. Zacchaeus is a successful man, but lost. Now let's pause for a moment and reflect on ourselves. Where do I stand today? How do I see myself? How do I define myself? Who am I? How do others see me? If they look at me, how would they describe me? But most important, how does God see me? As members of the church, we too are children of Abraham. Even more, we are children of God. We too have the privilege of knowing God, of following his Son, Jesus Christ. We grow up, we live as members of God's people. We belong to a community. We have an identity. We are called Christians. What do we do with this great privilege? Is it really that important to us? And here, there is a warning for us. Because here is Zacchaeus, a son of Abraham, with all these privileges, but he is lost. For in his successful pursuit of worldly benefits, he has neglected or forgotten his true identity. He is rich, he is powerful, he is successful, but he is hopelessly lost. But now, after meeting this unsuitable host, we meet an unexpected guest, because Jesus appears on the scene. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He passes through Jericho, and that's the place where Zacchaeus lives. Now, Jesus was rumored to be a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was the saying that went around. This man is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And perhaps Zacchaeus has heard the rumor and became curious about Jesus. Why would someone like this be called a friend of tax collectors? So he seeks to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus now becomes a seeker. But how? How is he seeking Jesus? He wants to see Jesus, not meet him. And he wants to form his own objective opinion. We read here that he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wants to sit there in a spot where he can observe and make his own conclusions about this man. He keeps a safe distance. He's a short man, but he avoids the front position. Now, we don't know if it's the crowds preventing him or he himself being careful not to be up front and being seen. Whichever it is, he decides to climb a tree, and not any tree, a sycamore fig tree with big leaves, big enough to make clothes from, we know from the Garden of Eden. Big leaves where he can see without being seen. So Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus, but on his own terms, from a safe distance, without having to commit himself. He seeks Jesus, but at the same time, he's hiding from him between the leaves. But then after the seeking comes the finding. And he finds more than he has bargained for, because his plan fails. He wanted to stay in hiding and just observe Jesus passing by, but Jesus stops under the tree. He looks up, and we can imagine with these crowds of people around, even Jesus looks up, everybody looks up, and there sits Zacchaeus up in the tree. He looks up to him, he speaks to him, and suddenly Zacchaeus finds now he is the one being sought by Jesus and also being found. Jesus finds him there. Jesus breaks through the safe distance he created, and he establishes direct contact with him. Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must stay in your house today. Zacchaeus, Jesus calls him by name. That in itself is actually a miracle. Jesus calls him by name. Jesus knows who he is. Jesus means him. Nobody else. He cannot look around. Yeah, who's Jesus talking to? It must be me, because it's my name. I'm Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, I must stay in your house. And this is very interesting, because Jesus, when he says must, it always refers to his divine mission. He must suffer, he tells his disciples. He must die. He must be resurrected on the third day. And here he says, and I must go to your house today. And then Jesus says, today. Zacchaeus, hurry down, I must stay in your house today. And this is the moment of decision. Jesus doesn't say, look in your appointment book, see when you have time for me. see if we can fit in something somewhere. Jesus says, today. Today, I must come to your house. Now, Zacchaeus, he can decide two different ways. He can refuse. Actually, the obvious response would have been to refuse. Because what a cheek. Here comes this guy, I don't know him from Adam. He comes by and he stops under the tree and he just invites himself to my house, the chief collector in Jericho, my big mansion. He just invites himself. Who knows, maybe he brings his whole ragtag of disciples with him. Or Zacchaeus can agree. He can say to himself, what a privilege. He wants to come to me? He wants to come to my house? Now, the question here again is, reflecting for a moment, are we seeking Jesus? Are we like Zacchaeus, looking for Jesus, looking for him to be somehow involved in our lives, but also like Zacchaeus, at a safe distance? We want to get a little bit from Jesus, but without having to commit too much. Whichever way it is, if we are seeking Jesus, then we may know we are already being sought. He knows us and he calls us by name. God takes the initiative. We think, Zacchaeus thought, I'm the one who goes out to see Jesus. I'm the one climbing the tree. I'm the one who wants to see him. But actually, it's God taking the initiative. In Jeremiah 29, we read, when you search for me, you will find me, because I will let you find me. If we search for Jesus, he will let us find him. Whatever our motives are, however impure our motives are, if we just go seeking, he says, I will let you find me. It is God who puts this hunger and thirst for him in our hearts. It is God seeking us through Jesus. That's what John 3 verse 16 tells us. That God sent his Son into the world to die for us, so that we may not be lost, but be saved. Jesus came, and this is why he came, to seek us. Jesus says so himself in Luke 19 verse 10, the end of the story. That's Jesus, we could say, his conclusion about all that happened here. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So, we have an unexpected, an unsuitable host, an unexpected guest, and now we have, finally, a life-transforming meal. Because back to Zacchaeus, we left him in the tree, he's still sitting there, he had some time to decide. How does Zacchaeus decide? How does he react? Jesus' unconditional self-invitation leads to a positive, we would even say an enthusiastic reaction. So he hurried down. And it says here he was happy and he welcomed Jesus. So different from the story just one chapter before, in chapter 18, where the rich young man came to Jesus and asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He became sad and he went away. Zacchaeus, who is not a righteous man, who kept all the commandments from his youth as the rich young man, a sinner, but Zacchaeus, he enthusiastically welcomes Jesus to his house. And then we see the reaction of the bystanders. And it's interesting, Luke says, all of them, not some of them were complaining, all of them were saying, he's a sinner. Jesus must lay down conditions before going to the house. He must first change, then Jesus can go there. That's okay by us. But how can Jesus go to a man like that without any conditions? But there is, in fact, a change, a complete transformation. Meeting Jesus face to face, that leads to the change. Jesus sets no conditions. Jesus doesn't stand under the tree and say, if you promise to change your lifestyle, maybe I'll consider coming to your house. No conditions. Jesus offers unconditional love. He just becomes his guest and enjoys his hospitality, sits at his table, makes him feel finally accepted. And Jesus' acceptance gives Zacchaeus the courage and the strength to change. And what a change. His life is turned upside down. He stands up and he says, right now, here and now, we read, I give half my possessions to the poor. And we can say, how come only half? She did not give everything. But this guy is not just talking, he's thinking, because there's something else he has to do. He cannot give everything to the poor. He needs the other half to make restitution. Because he says, he actually admits his lostness. He admits his unrighteous behavior. He said, where I've done wrong, where I have taken from others more than I ought, I give back fourfold. Our Bible translation says, I will give back. It's a present tense in the Greek. Here and now, I give that back fourfold. And this reaction is not because of the bystanders or because of their complaints, but this comes from his gratitude. Gratitude for Jesus' acceptance. Jesus reacted so different from everybody else. Jesus just accepted him as he was, let him be, went into his house, sat down for a meal with him. And because Jesus has been so generous to him, he can now afford to be generous too. And Jesus has the last word in this story. He says, today salvation has come to this house. This is the second today in this story. Huh? Today I must come to your house. Today salvation has come. Jesus gives now. Jesus doesn't promise he will give us something in the distant future. What Jesus gives, he gives today. And what he gives is salvation. Salvation has come to this house. God does not care only for individuals. He deals with families. When he enters my life, he enters my heart, but he also enters my house. And my whole family benefits when I commit myself to follow Jesus. And then Jesus says, this man too is a son of Abraham. And saying these words, Jesus actually restores his identity. He's a member of God's people. And now again, Zacchaeus can be a member of God's people. He can now really be a son of Abraham, trusting God like Abraham did, not his possessions. He got rid of his possessions. He must trust God like Abraham did. A real son of Abraham. And this is what Jesus came for. Not to be seen, like Zacchaeus thought, I want to see him. Not to be admired, to be marveled at. Jesus came to save. So what is our conclusion about this story? We know the story so well, but actually there's so much packed into the story, so much that we can every time experience fresh again. In one day, Zacchaeus, the rich chief tax collector of Jericho, loses all his possessions and becomes poor. Not because of a collapse of the stock market, but because Jesus came to eat with him. Different from the rich young man in the previous chapter, he did not turn away from Jesus. He allowed Jesus to enter his house, to enter his heart, and to enter his family. And because he extended hospitality to Jesus, he experienced the hospitality of God, God's open arms. Because he welcomed Jesus into his house, he experienced God's welcome back into his presence, back into his embrace. Now, for Zacchaeus, this was not a disastrous day. This was the day he received new life, he and his house. When Jesus comes to visit, everything becomes new. Jesus is a guest who not only eats with us, but also turns our lives upside down, or rather, puts our upside down lives in order again. That's why he came. Not to be admired, to be praised, to be adored at a safe distance, but to seek us and to give us what we really need: salvation, new life. He wants to be my guest. He invites himself to my house. What he says to Zacchaeus, he says to each of us: today, I must stay at your house. Let us welcome him with joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you extend your hospitality to us. You invite us back into your embrace. We thank you that our Lord Jesus came to visit people in their homes, so many people, so many different ones, so many different situations. And where Jesus came into a house and shared a meal, he also brought salvation. And we thank you that even today, our resurrected Lord Jesus still comes to knock at our door, to come into our house, to sit with us at table, to share our family life, to bring newness, to bring new life, to bring salvation. We thank you that through our Lord Jesus, you restore us to yourself. You restore our identity as your children. We pray, Lord, that you give us the openness in our hearts to accept our Lord Jesus into our hearts, into our lives, into our families. And we pray that through your Spirit, you bless our relationship to you, that through Jesus, we can have a new, full relationship with you. We thank you that now we can also, through communion, remember our Lord Jesus, remember how he came to be with us, to share our lives, even to sit at table with us. We pray that you bless this sharing of the meal together. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.